cut off before time. The third things which we were said, we were thinking about it, that is a corn dried by fire. Now, after the farmer or the offerer, he is plucking the green ears of corn from his field, the next step which he has to do is the dry the corn by fire. Now, how do we dry our clothes? There are one method which is a natural method of drying our clothes. When we wash our clothes, generally we just squeeze them by hand little bit and then we allow our clothes to dry in the open sunshine or open sun. That is the natural process. But the other process which nowadays which is used for drying the clothes, what we do after washing the clothes in the washing machine, the next to the washing machine we have a system called dryer. Then we simply take the clothes and put it into the dryer and we want to use and we want to dry this clothes very soon, immediately. We just set the dryer for 5 minutes or 10 minutes and the process starts and we know that the dryer will start with his full speed. And what exactly the dryer is doing? The dryer is squeezing each and every water particles, each and every water from the clothes, and it is removing completely water. And if you allow the dryer to run for complete 5 minutes or 10 minutes, then after that you can remove your clothes and you can iron and you can use it because you know that it is 100% dried. So that is what being used when the corn is being dried. The everything of it has to be dried because the corn is not matured. There is a spiritual significance of it. That is Jesus Christ, he experienced the wrath of his Father and he literally experienced it. The fourth category which we were thinking, that was the corn beaten out of full ears. Now after this, after the drying the corn through the fire, after roasting the corn, the fourth one is the corn has to be beaten out of full ears. And this shows that Jesus Christ took on himself the bruises and the strokes. So we have seen this important factors about the corn, that is a Lord Jesus Christ. Now also last time we saw that another word which is used, that is called as a first fruit. So who is the first fruit? Lord Jesus Christ, he is the first fruit. And who are we? We are the harvest, and the harvest is always after the first fruit. We have seen there are two similarities and one dissimilarity between the first fruit and between the harvest, that is we. Now Lord Jesus Christ, first fruit is always one, but the harvest is always in a multiple, it is in a plenty. Lord Jesus Christ is one and we believers, we are the true harvest, we are in many, I mean we are ample, we are plenty in numbers. Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven, we are going to be in heaven. And in the nature also, we will be like Lord Jesus Christ. And we have seen that there is a one dissimilarity in first fruit and the harvest, that is when we look at the corn, we can see the corn, and by looking at the corn, we are very much sure that this corn is gone through the fire. But that will not be case in the believer's case, it will not be like that. We who are living in the face of this earth, we at present there may be we may be handicapped, there will be many physical infirmities, there will be many physical problems, this may occur to our body when we are living here on the face of this earth. But when we will be having the glorified body, that time there will not be any deformation, or that time there will not be any such marks of it. But the marks which Lord Jesus Christ has took on him on the cross, that are the eternal marks, and they are there even still in the heaven. So that is the main difference. He is the corn, and through he is the first fruit, and by looking at him we can know that this corn has gone through fire. But when we look at the harvest, now there is no sign, no symptom. The harvest is as green, as perfect, as good as is has to be. So we are the harvest one. Now let us go ahead and let us see the two important things. The first one is Leviticus chapter 2 and verse 16. We have already read the complete verse, but now we will not read the complete verse. We will only concentrate the required part of that verse. Now Leviticus 2:16 says, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it. Now, give little bit of importance to this sentence. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it. Now, the same idea is there in Leviticus 2 verse 9 also.
And the priest shall take from the meat offering a memorial thereof and shall burn it upon the altar. And in verse chapter 2, verse 2, there we have another mention of it, that is, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar.
We have already seen that there are how many types of meal offering? There are three types of meal offering. And after the different types of meal offering is being mentioned, and after that, there are some important mention of this word. And let us see in verse 2 and 16, what is the important word there? That is a memorial of it. Same in Leviticus 2 and 9, we have this verse, memorial thereof. And same Leviticus 2 and 2, that is a memorial of it.
Now, after each and every three different types of meal offering, we have the three mention of it, that is a memorial of it, memorial and memorial of it. What is the memorial portion?
Now, what is this memorial portion? Now, the offerer has to prepare his meal offering at home. That meal offering may be of three different types of meal offering that already we have seen. Now, what the offerer will do? He will prepare the meal offering at home, and in a plate or in whatever system, he will bring the meal offering to the priest in the tabernacle near the altar. Now, what the priest will do? The priest will offer some part of it on the altar, and that part which is offered on the altar has to be burned, and that is a God's portion, or it is a God's part, and remaining part is there, which is the portion for the priest. Now, the meal offering is divided into two parts. One part which has to be offered on the altar, and the part which has to be offered on the altar, there is one important word which is mentioned for that. That is, and the priest shall burn the memorial of it. The part which has to be burned on the altar, that part is known as, or the another name for that part is a memorial of it. Memorial of it. Memorial of it. It is a memorial portion. Now, who will decide how much has to be burned and how much has to be left to the for the priest? Who will decide it? Who will decide? Either the God will decide, the offerer will decide, or the priest will decide that how much part has to be burned on the altar as a memorial part and how much part will be given to the priest. Who will decide? Yeah, the scripture says that it is already decided by God. Shall we read second verse 2? God has decided how much part or how much quantity has to be burned on the altar as a memorial portion. Verse 2. Abby, can you read? Yeah, he shall take the handful of it. Now, just to understand what is the handful, there are three different slides which we have mentioned here. We have it for us. Now, what is the handful of it? Now, the offerer will bring his portion, bring his meal offering. He will give it to the priest. Now, the priest will offer the memorial of it. How much is the memorial has to be offered? The scripture says that it has to be the handful of it. Now, what is the handful of it? Now, there are three different pictures. There are three different slides. Which you think is the handful out of these three? This one? Yeah. Okay. Good. So either first one, second one, or third one, or all, or two and one. I mean, two in one group and one in another. What is the handful of it? And whose handful of it, first of all? It is whose handful? It is the handful of priest. The offerer will bring, the priest will take handful of it, and he will offer it on the altar. But what is the handful? What is the handful portion out of this? Yeah? Okay. Since it is not written here, okay, that is good observation. Okay. What do you think? Someone says that this is the handful, right? Why not this? Yeah? Squeeze, yeah. Sorry? Stuff to take, yeah. What will be the contents of the handful which has to be burned? The scripture says that he will take some of the flour, some of the oil, and all of the frankincense. So that has to be there. So the priest has the freedom to take little bit of flour, little bit of oil, and all of the frankincense. This is the handful, and it has to be presented on the altar as a memorial portion. But why not? Why this is the only handful? Why not this handful? This cannot be handful. Yeah. It is a handful. It is not hands full. I mean, nowhere it's mentioned there, but the scripture says that it is a handful. Now, I'm not very much specialized in grammatical things, but if it is a handful, I mean, if it is a like this, it has to be a, brother, it has to be hands full, but it is a handful. It means that what the priest will do, he will take, when the meal offering will come in his front, he will take his handful of it and he will offer it on the altar. So it is not this handful. Okay, let us go ahead. So it is not this handful. And this handful is called as a memorial portion. Now we are going to ponder upon this word called as a memorial portion. Memorial portion. Who is being memorized in this case? Now the portion is called which has to be burned. That is a memorial portion. But who is being memorized? Is it the priest? Is it the offerer? Or is it God? Who is being memorized? What do you think? It is a memorial portion? Okay, we have understood the handful is called as a memorial portion. But who is being memorized? Is the offerer is being memorized through doing this thing? Is God is being memorized? Or is the priest is being memorized? Yeah, God? Any other view? Okay. Offerer, good. We need to have this different, you know, opinion so that we can know a little bit of it. Okay. When we go out in the world, this memorial word is used in many places. Tata Memorial Hospital or St. Teresa Old Age House or Orphanage House or her memorial, something like that. Now, when we think about Tata Memorial Hospital, now, by looking at that name or by looking at the building, what do you think? Who is being memorized? What is the whole idea about it? Is the person called Tata is being memorized? Is the builder or the person who actually constructed it, he is being memorized? Or the patients or the doctors who are coming and serving there, they are being memorized? Okay, think about it. I will give you different illustration. When we go in a burial ground, or, you know, where the dead bodies are, you know, being kept, I mean, being buried. Now, one thing we find one marble plate is there, and on that marble plate something is written, and that is very familiar, in loving memory of. Now who is being memorized in that case? Is the person who is sleeping or who is dead, or those people who have visited there, they are being memorized, or the person who has literally carved those things, he is being memorized? Who is being memorized, you think? The person. Tata Memorial Hospital, who is being memorized? The whole idea is when they look at the building, they should at least think about Tata, a person called Tata. Now, who is being memorized here? God. When the whole idea is when the offerer will come, near God, and when he will bring his offering, he has to think in his mind, God, you have remembered me or you have memorized me. Now, I have come to memorize you. Now, let us see one Hebrew meaning of that word, so it will become more clear and we will go a little bit of in-depth of study in it. Hebrew word for memorial is askara. The Hebrew word for memorial is askara. And what is the meaning of the word askara? Askara means remember. Askara means remember. Now, when the offerer is bringing the meal offering, he is thinking in his mind, God, you have remembered me. Now I have come here to remember you. God, you have remembered me and you have blessed me abundantly. Now I have come with this little bit of meal offering to remember you. Lord, you have given me plenty in my field as a harvest. Now I have come with a little bit of it to remember you. Yes, Lord, you have remembered me first. Now I have come to remember you. Now it is the character of God. See,
It is God who has taken the first initiative to remember the fallen humanity. It is not the man. What happened when man or the humanity, the complete humanity sinned first? It is God who is taking the initiative to recover them. It is God when Adam committed sin. It is not Adam who is searching God, and it is not Adam who is now approaching God, but it is God who is coming to seek, or it is God who is thinking about Adam. We know the parable of the 100 sheep and the lost sheep also. So it is the shepherd who is going in search of the lost sheep. So it is a character of God. So God first remembered the humanity, but in return he expects that after that who should remember God? After that we should remember God. Now, as we have seen that, do we have the similar parallel of it in the New Testament? Remember, Lord Jesus Christ said to his disciples, remember me. Yeah? What is that parallel? Lord Jesus Christ said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and onwards, he said, remember me. Now, let us compare with Lord Jesus Christ who said, remember me, and let us compare the Azkara, or let us compare that memorial memorial portion, or let us compare the memorial portion where God is being remembered. Now, what Lord Jesus Christ said? Remember me. Do this in my remembrance, or every time when you think of me, remember me, remember me. Now, remember me is a commandment. Is it a commandment? Is it a commandment? Okay. Remember me is a commandment. But meal offering, it was a free will offering. Now, let us try and understand and let us correlate these two things in a proper way. Now, there are total five different offerings which we are going to study. Out of these five, there are three offerings which are called as a free will offering, or it is called as a voluntary offering. And which are they? The first one, which already we have seen, burnt offering, is a free will offering. Whoever wants to come to God and offer him, they can offer. So the burnt offering is a free will offering. At the same time, the meal offering is also free will offering. Free will offering means God is not compulsory asking them to come and offer them. God has given them free will. If you like, you can come and you can offer it. Now, let us see. As we were meditating on this word, remember me is a commandment. Now, what do you think of this commandment? Now, in the Old Testament, there are various commandments, and few commandments, they were very strict, like obeying the Sabbath. Now, the person who is not obeying the Sabbath, or if he has broken that rule, there are some sort of punishment of it. Now, when we think about this remember me in the New Testament and that free will offering, how to connect both these things? Now, remember me, this is a commandment which has to be obeyed with love, not out of compulsion. Yes, we have to remember God, but we are not coming every Sunday to remember him because it is a commandment, or because we must do it, or there is going to be a punishment. No. Why we remember him? Not because out of compulsion. We remember him because our free will offering. We remember him because, Lord, we love you, and every time we come in your presence, we want to obey you. It is not out of compulsion. It is not like that you ask your son, don't do this. If you do this, I will punish you. So next time, why he will do it or why he will not do it? Just to get the punishment or not, or to avoid the punishment. When God, Lord Jesus Christ say, do this in my remembrance. Of course, it is a commandment, but we obey it not out of compulsion. Not out of compulsion. Is there any punishment, or is there any, if we don't remember God, don't remember Lord Jesus Christ every Sunday, is there any, what do we say? Is there any punishment for that? What the scripture says? Or do we remember him just to obey? Okay, Lord, you have said it and I have done it. It has to come out of spontaneously. That is the right word. Or it has to be, you have to feel it
from your within that, Lord, I am not coming out of compulsion here because I have to do it. I have to come every Sunday morning to remember you. I am coming it because I love you. I love to remember you. I love to obey your commandment. There is no compulsion at all.
We remember him on Sunday morning not because we must do it, but because we love to obey him and we love to remember him. Let us go ahead. Now, memorial portion. It is just a small grip of hand. How much is the memorial portion?
Just a little bit. How much will be the grip of a priest's hand? It will be very little bit.
But again, it is called as a memorial portion. Now, Lord, this is my small handful portion which I have bought to remember you. Now, you remember me in future.
When the offerer is bringing his meal offering at the altar, and when the priest will offer the handful of it, a small portion of it on the altar, the offerer is thinking in his mind, Lord, you have remembered me first. I have bought my memorial portion, my handful portion, very little portion. Please remember me in future. Now, it is a whole cycle. God remembered humanity. Now, the person or the offerer, he is remembering him, God. And while remembering God, he is thinking in his mind, Lord, you have remembered me. I am remembering you. Now onwards, you remember me in future. Now, if you ask any man, remember me in future, there are chances that he may forget you in future. And the scripture says that. In the Old Testament, there was a good person called Joseph, the son of Jacob. Now, he interpreted the dream of two people. Out of two, one was the cupbearer. And what he said to the cupbearer, when you will be restored to your initial position and when everything will be good, remember me. But what happened? He did not remember Joseph even after doing the favor. But that is the case of human, but that is not case with Lord, or that is not case with God. Now, do you remember what this person said who was on the cross? Lord, when you come back in glory, remember me. And what was the reply of Lord Jesus Christ? He said that, yes, I will remember you. See, that is the whole idea about it. The relationship of one man with another man, there can be up and down. And it can happen. Man can say, yes, brother, I will remember you. Yes, sister, I will remember you. We will be in good terms throughout our life. They will say something. It may not happen. But that is not case with God. If we come with the heart and if we say, God, remember me, we are very much assured that he is going to remember us. Let us step into another important portion of the same memorial portion. Now, it is a memorial portion, and this memorial portion is called as a sweet savor unto the Lord. Let us look at the scripture. When we remember him, or when we remember God, it gives sweet savor to him. And that is mentioned in verse 2. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. When the memorial part is being offered on the altar, it brings sweet savor to the Lord.
Another scripture also we have. So it is a sweet savor unto the Lord
when the memorial thing is being offered. Now, what gives sweet savor to the Lord?
Look at the scripture. And the priest shall burn the memorial of it upon the altar to be an offering made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord.
What brings sweet savor, or what gives sweet savor to God? The
Jesus Christ.
Now, what is that memorial portion?
In hand, what is there in hand of the priest? It may be flour, it may be oil, it may be salt, it may be frankincense, right?
And who are these?
Who is all? Lord Jesus Christ. So who in reality gives sweet savor unto the Lord?
The memorial portion. Who is the memorial portion? Lord Jesus Christ. And what gives delight, what gives sweet savor to God?
Lord Jesus Christ.
So whenever we come in presence of God to worship Him, we should
think of Jesus. We should bring Jesus Christ. We should talk Jesus Christ. And we should glorify Jesus Christ.
Nobody or none on the face of the earth can give sweet savor to God the Father than Lord Jesus Christ.
God loves to hear about His Son
than anybody else on the face of the earth. When we come Sunday morning to remember Him, when we come Sunday morning to offer our worship, what God is interested to hear from you and me? He is not interested to hear from you and me about Abraham. He is not interested at all to hear from you and me about David, about Solomon, or about the great prophets. He wants to hear about His Son, Lord Jesus Christ. Because His Son only can bring the sweet savor to Him. And He is always interested that He is always looking that let me look at the children of mine when they talk about Lord Jesus Christ, what they talk, or when they think about Lord Jesus Christ on the worship table, what they think. So only Lord Jesus Christ can bring the sweet savor to the Lord.
Now, memorial portion. Now, God remembers even small thing.
We have seen already that the memorial portion is just a handful of it. Handful of it is just a small thing, but it is a memorial portion. Now, let us think from God. God remembers even the small things that we do for Him while living on the face of the earth. As it is said in Matthew chapter 10 verse 42. If you give glass of water to me, while at the time of reward, you will not lose your reward. God is very much sure that He will remember that person who has done a little bit of it. So, God remembers even the small thing that we do for Him on the face of the earth. Now, in Matthew chapter 25, verse 35 says that, "For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat." God says, "I was hungry, you gave meat, and it is directly or indirectly given for me." The same verse says that, "For I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink." Little things as done, but God remembers that. "I was a stranger, and ye took me in." The same scripture says that, "I was naked, and ye clothed me." Again, the same scripture says that, "I was sick, and ye visited me." And the last portion of it, which says that, "I was in prison, and ye came unto me." These are the small things which people have done it, not to the God directly. It is done for somebody else. But God says that you have done a little bit of it. Maybe you have given a glass of water. Maybe you have given one time a little bit of food to so and so. Maybe you have given your used clothes, your second hand clothes to somebody. Maybe you have allowed somebody to come to your house and you have given him a shelter for some time. Maybe you went to the prison and just say hi and hello. Maybe you went and visited some of your neighbors or maybe your unknown friends or somebody and you went and just gave them a flower and just said hi and hello and how are you feeling. And God says that you have done little bit of it, but I remember them and it is done for me. Now, in case of man may forget it or man may not notice, but God remembers every small handful things that we do for Him. If I do little bit of thing, maybe the person, he may forget it. Maybe another people or many people, they may forget it, but God will not forget it. Yes, Lord, we are always thinking that God only remembers the big things which is done in His name. But God says that even if you bring memorial of it, even if you bring handful of it, even if you do a little bit of it in your eyes, but if you do it for me, I'm very much sure I'm going to remember you. That is the character of God. God will always remember the small things, the handful things. People may forget. They may forget. But God says that I will never forget. It will be rewarded according to the things at the time of the judgment and at the time of the Bema Seat. Now the second portion of it. Now we have already seen first part of it, that the meal offering is divided into two parts. Two distribution of the meal offering. And what is the first distribution we have seen? The first distribution is the portion for the God, that is a handful of it, which is called as a memorial of it. Now, what happens to the remaining portion of it? Leviticus chapter 7. Leviticus chapter 7. And 9, we have answer for that. What has to be done for the remaining part of the meal offering? 7 verse 9. And all the meat offering that is baked in the oven and all that is dressed in the frying pan and in the pan shall be the priest that offereth it. The meal offering was divided into two parts. One part is the part or portion for God, which we have already seen. And the remaining part is the portion for the priest. It is for the priest and his family for his survival. Now, in the meal offering, also, there is no portion which is the portion for the offerer. Offerer gets nothing in the meal offering. So, we have seen two different categories. The part for the God is called as the portion for God, or the portion which is to be burned is called as a memorial. Now, there is another name which is given for the remnant part or the for the remaining part. And which part you think is the most holy part of it? Either the portion for the God or the portion for the offerer. Which is the most holy portion? Yeah? For the priest is the most holy. Yes? Yeah, we have seen the and that is homework also. I think I have given little bit of homework on that. We will come to it. Now, we have two distributions of it, and it is a very strange that the portion which is burnt is not called as a most holy one, but the portion which is given to the priest is called as a most holy one. Why it is so? Let us see that. But before that, the another name which is used for the portion of the priest is called as a most holy portion. Why it is a most holy portion? Leviticus 2 verse 3, we have that name. And the remnant of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offering of the Lord made by fire. Now we have another scripture for that also. Most holy. Leviticus chapter 2 and 10 also we have similar expression. And that which is left of the meat offering shall be Aaron's and his sons. It is a thing most holy of the offering of the Lord made by fire. And here also we have that similar expression called most holy. Now these are the two divisions. The portion for God which is burnt on the altar is called as a memorial portion. But the portion which goes for priest and his family for their survival is called as a most holy portion. Now the homework. Why that portion is called as a most holy portion? Why? Generally, we think that the portion which is given to God, it has to be most holy. But the scripture says that no, that is a memorial portion. But the portion which is remaining, the portion which is given to the priest, is called as a most holy. Think of that word, most holy. Why? This was the homework. Any suggestion? Why this portion is called as the most holy? Yes, Abby? You think of something? You can share your views, no problem. I make a lot of mistakes, I know that. So there are, you know, I welcome. Yes. Any views? Yes, brother? Okay, that's a wise statement. Okay, now, do you have something to share? Why this portion is called as the most holy portion? Yeah? Yes, brother? Sorry? Brother Philip is saying that it may be because the priest goes to the most holy place, that is the holiest of holy. You will say that, okay, that is one view. Brother is saying that it is called as a most holy portion because the priest, the portion, this portion, most holy portion is for the priest, and the priest has got one more duty to go in the most holy place. That That is one reason Brother Philip is sharing. Someone was saying, Auntie, any other view? Okay. Now, what will happen for the meal offering which is prepared and which is burnt on the altar? Anything will happen for that? It is burnt and it is, okay, it is gone. It is burnt and it has brought the sweet savor to the God, sweet aroma to the Lord. But think of the most holy portion, or think of the portion which is remaining. If that portion which is remaining, which is the most holy, which is a portion for the priest, if not used, what will happen? It will spoil, it will decay. So God is saying that, okay, the portion which is given to the priest, it is a most holy portion. You cannot simply go home and keep it as it is. You cannot simply go home and ignore it, or you cannot simply waste it as it is. You have to be feed on yourself, feed on your family from war. From what? From this most holy portion. This is not an ordinary portion, but God says that this is the most holy portion. It cannot be just defiled like that. It cannot be wasted. We are going to think three different angles. From three different angles, we will view this word called most holy portion. Now, you tell me, who is the most holy one before that? The portion is the most holy one. And who is the most holy one? Lord Jesus Christ. Why? What is the context? Now, which portion God is saying that the most holy portion? The meal offering which is remaining. And what is that meal offering? Again, there is fine flour, there is salt, there is oil, there is all these ingredients are there. And they represent Lord Jesus Christ. So, who is the most holy one? Lord Jesus Christ is most holy one. Now, let us think and in three different directions how this applies even now in our practical life. Jesus Christ is the most holy one. Use him. Jesus Christ is the most holy one. Use him. Let us look at first angle. In heaven, God enjoys his son, that is Lord Jesus Christ, and he has given the same Jesus Christ for us to enjoy. Now, what do you think? In heaven, what was the best thing for God, or who brings more delight or more enjoyment to the heart of God in heaven? Lord Jesus Christ. And same Lord Jesus Christ, who is the most holy, who gives delight and enjoyment to God the Father, he has given same Lord Jesus Christ to us on the face of the earth. So we need to use him, or we need to enjoy him. Now, we know that David and Mephibosheth was there. Now, Mephibosheth, he had got a privilege to eat at the same table of David. Now, just imagine. David is sitting at the table for having their dinner. Mephibosheth is also sitting there. There are the prime ministers and ministers of David's. All the great people, good people, highly educated, qualified people, they are also sitting and they are having the feast. Now, one servant came with curry in a bowl, and he served from the same bowl to David. David took it. Next to David, suppose Mephibosheth is sitting. After David taking little bit of curry from that same bowl, David gave that bowl to Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth, have it. And suppose Mephibosheth is saying, no, I don't like this. Can it happen? Mephibosheth, you are so privileged to sit at the table of David. Similarly, we are so privileged to share or to think or to have fellowship with Lord Jesus Christ. This is the same Lord Jesus Christ who is being enjoyed and who is giving all the good thing, or who is pleasing God the Father. They are in heaven, and we have the same Lord Jesus Christ, and we need to do what? We need to use him. We need to feed on himself, feed on ourselves with Lord Jesus Christ, so that we should be cherished and we should be nourished. We have the same Lord Jesus Christ. Now, God given manna, if not used, what will happen? In the Old Testament, God gave them manna. Every day morning they used to go, they will collect their manna. But if that manna is not used till evening, what will happen to that manna? It will defile, it will decay, it will start giving bad smell and all. So the manna which is collected has to be used daily. If manna is not used, it is going to be decay. And tomorrow morning, that same manna cannot give any good to that person. Now who is the manna? Manna was not the tastiest food on earth. You think manna was the tastiest food on earth that time? No. What was the taste? God said that the taste of manna was something like a chapati and a little bit of honey. But you think that the manna was that time the very tastiest portion on the earth? No. Now think of this. The remaining meal offering, which is a portion for the priest, you think that that is the tastiest food on the earth that time? No. But that has got the value because it is come from whom? It is come from God, and it is given to whom? It is given to people, and it is given for their survival. Manna may not be the tastiest food on the earth, but it is meaningful. It has got some meaning because it is given for their survival. If you don't eat manna, you are not going to survive. God says that this remaining meal offering, this remaining balance remnant is the most holy one, and I give it to you. Do not defile it. Use it. And if you don't use it, you are going to lose it. Now who is the manna in the real sense? In the New Testament? In the Old Testament also and New Testament also. Manna is a picture of Lord Jesus Christ. Feed on yourself with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the real manna. If you feed on yourself with Lord Jesus Christ, you will be healthy. It will be useful to you. But if you don't feed on yourself with Lord Jesus Christ, you have the most holy portion of it. God, I was so hungry. Now suppose your mommy and daddy, they both are in their school and in their colleges or at their workplace, and the small boy, he is coming home, and generally mommy and daddy, they are keeping their lunch box or the food for the children in the fridge. And that day, mommy, daddy, they forgot to keep their food in the fridge. They kept it somewhere else. And they kept it on the kitchen, let's say. Now, the son came home and he searched everywhere, but he didn't get the food. The food was there, but he didn't get the food. Evening when he came, Dad, Mom, I was so hungry. What happened, beta? You didn't keep anything in the fridge. Yes, beta, sorry, I forgot it. But the food was not in the fridge, but it was just lying next to it. The food was there, but that boy has to starve or he has to go through it. Why? Because he didn't search or because he didn't utilize it. Lord Jesus Christ is always available for believers. What we are going to do it? We are going to use it. Constantly feed on ourselves with Lord Jesus Christ. If we feed on ourselves, we will be spiritually so healthy. But if we do not feed on ourselves with Lord Jesus Christ, who is the real manna? Who is the real food? Who is the most holy one? We are going to be spiritually also like lean only. Now, let us look the second angle of it. Jesus Christ is the most holy. Worship Him. What word is used? Most holy. Is it the word used like most tasty? What the word used? Most holy. Now you tell me, in Bible the word holy is most of the time used in connection what? Connection of worship. It is used for God primarily, and it is always most of the time it is used for in connection with worship. Holy, 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 and we see in the book of Ezekiel, we see in the book of Isaiah, we see in the book of Revelation also. So, Lord Jesus Christ is the most holy one, and the word holy suggests worship. We need to worship Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we go and see in the book of Revelation, chapter 5, verse 14, we see that Lord Jesus Christ is being worshipped by the 24 elders, and we see a lot of multitude there and later also. So, Lord Jesus Christ is also worshipped in heaven. But it is not only in the case of heaven. What about the earth? The same Lord Jesus Christ was earlier in his, when he was there on the face of the earth, he was even worshipped that time also. Let us see some of the scriptural portion. Who worshipped the most holy one? Who worshipped Lord Jesus Christ? And in Matthew chapter 2 verse 11, we see that wise men, they worship Lord Jesus Christ. Who else worshipped Lord Jesus Christ? The leper in Matthew chapter 8. The leper worshipped Lord Jesus Christ. Who else worshipped Lord Jesus Christ? Disciples also worship Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 28 verse 17. Lord Jesus Christ is the most holy one. Most Holy One, use Him. Most Holy One, worship Him. The same Lord Jesus Christ who is being used or who is being enjoyed in heaven, God says that you also enjoy Him, you also use Him. The same Lord Jesus Christ, the Most Holy One, who is being worshipped in heaven, God says that you also worship Him here on the face of the earth. And the third aspect of it, and last aspect of it, Lord Jesus Christ is the Most Holy One. Value Him. How can we devalue? How can we think that this is very small to Lord Jesus Christ? Lord Jesus Christ is the Most Holy One. Value Him. Jesus Christ was valued by believers only. He was not treated worthy by others. In all four Gospels, if you study the first four Gospels carefully, Lord Jesus Christ was valued by believer. But the unbeliever, they did not value Lord Jesus Christ. We have one incident, at least one incident, when Lord Jesus Christ went in a house called Simon the Pharisee. And Simon the Pharisee, he did not do that three things which was done by the woman who came. He did not kiss Lord Jesus Christ. He did not give water to wash his feet. And he did not welcome Him. These three things which was missed or which was not done by Simon the Pharisee, but someone came and really in the real sense she valued Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that many times Lord Jesus Christ was not treated worthy by the unbelievers, but the believers, they have always valued Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us see two, three important things and then we can go ahead. Now there is wonderful portion in the scripture, Matthew chapter 13 verse 44. We know this story very well, but this story has got a tremendous application in this connection, value Lord Jesus Christ. In Matthew 13, 44 we read that hidden valuable treasures in the field which was found by a person. I think we must read that verse so that we get the whole idea about it. Can you read verse 44, Abby, please? Matthew 13, 44. And I want to narrate this whole story to get the real glimpse of it.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hides. And for joy thereof goes and sells all that he has and buys that field.
Yeah. Here is a story, and if you read each and every word carefully, you will come up with so much wonderful of meaning. Now, this slide also will help you to understand. Now, the word of God says that the man, he was doing some work in the field. Let me read it for you once again. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasures hid in the field, which when a man has found. A man has found the treasure hidden in the field. How he found it? And who was that man? Was that a boss of that field? Okay, the treasure was hidden. So it means that it was not exposed. And he found it. So while doing what he found it? While doing some of his work, maybe he was plowing or he was doing something. So while doing some work in the field, he found the hidden treasure. And what do you think? Who is this person is? Is he supposed to be a laborer, ordinary laborer, or he is supposed to be the owner of that land? Owner or laborer? Not the owner. Of course the laborer, because he was doing the normal work. But when he found the treasure, he was not the boss, because if he is the boss of the field, what he will do? He will not hide it again. He will take it and he will go home. But what he did? After finding the treasure, he again kept it as it is. And what next he did? He went and he sold everything and to buy the piece of that land. Now I want to narrate this whole story in a practical sense. He was doing his work. He found the treasure. Oh, this treasure. Now, what do you think? He was a laborer. Why did not he took the treasure and go home? He cannot do that. That is the reason why he hid it and went, sold everything and buy it. Why? Buy it means buy that piece of a land. Why he did not took it initially when he found it? Very good, very good. And if he has taken it, what will happen? He can be catch for that, and it is legally it is not his property. Okay. So what he did when he found it, He again dig it and kept it as it is. And he went to the boss. Boss, I want to buy the piece of this land. Hey, why you want to buy a piece of land? You are just a laborer. Do you have that much money? I don't want to give it to you. No, boss, please give me the piece of this land. I like this piece of the land very much. No, I don't want to sell it. Boss, you have so many pieces of the land. You have so many lands here and there, 25 acres here, 25 acres there. This is just a small one gunta. Please give me only one gunta. 40 square feet here, 40 square feet there. Just give me this. I don't want to sell it. No, boss, you please give me. How much is the cost? 50,000 rupees. Boss, 50,000 rupees? Too much. I don't want to sell it. If you want to buy it, give me 50,000. I am willing to give it. Okay. He went home. He was just an ordinary laborer. Do you think he is having capacity to buy it? The scripture says that he sold everything. Means he went to home. Wife, come here. How much we have in store? We have only 2,000 rupees. Only 2,000 rupees. Okay. Bring your ornaments. Sell it. Bring your saris. Sell it. He sold everything. He got 40,000 rupees. But he again shot up 10,000 rupees. The bicycle of his son was there next to him. Son, this is the bicycle. I want to just sell it. Dad, you want to sell my bicycle? You bought me this bicycle after asking from the last 10 years. I am not going to allow you to sell this bicycle. Please, I will buy you another 10 bicycles. But now, please allow me to sell this bicycle. He sold that bicycle also for 500 rupees. Now, he had another daughter. She had a Barbie doll. Give me beta. Please give me this Barbie doll. No, Dad, no. He sold everything just to get 50,000 rupees. Now, after taking this 50,000 rupees, he went again back to the boss, to the owner of that field. Sir, this is the 50,000 rupees. Oh, how come you buy this 50,000? How come from where you bought this 50,000 rupees so fast? Only in few hours only, morning you came and evening you arranged 50,000 rupees. Yes, because I love this piece of the land very much. He gave this 50,000 rupees. He counted it. He bought the agreement, sealed the agreement. Now with the agreement, my dear wife, come with me. My dear children, come with me. He went in the field. Now he's a legal owner. He's an official owner. He just again dig that same place. He found that treasure. He is not interested in that field. In the field. He is not interested in the 40 square feet by 40 square feet. He is only interested in the hidden treasure. And he knew what is the value of the hidden treasure. What was the value of the hidden treasure? Even if he sold all of his property, that is even worth to get this hidden treasure. Now you tell me, who is the hidden treasure? Lord Jesus Christ. Even you sell everything of it, just to get a glimpse of it, just to get a hold of Lord Jesus Christ. Even it is a worthy, or it is worth business deal. You can sell everything of it. Who is the hidden treasure? Treasure? Lord Jesus Christ. Value him. He is the most holy one. Now let us see another scripture portion. This is also very important scriptural portion, which again speaks about Lord Jesus Christ. We know this story again very well in Matthew, same portion, Matthew chapter 13 and verse 46. We have, there is one businessman, and that businessman, his peculiarity was, he is always interested to collect good pearls, different kind of pearls, and one day he found one pearl of a great price. Verse 46. Who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Here also we have one businessman. Now that was in Matthew chapter 30, the earlier verse, 44 verse. Who was he? He was just a laborer, an ordinary laborer. Now who is he? This man. He's a big businessman. And he is fond of collecting good pearls, good diamonds. One day, he came across one pearl. And what was the price of that pearl? A pearl of great price. Now, he want to have this price. But this pearl was so costly, was so precious, so valuable. To get this pearl, what he has to do? He went again home and he sold all of it. He had earlier maybe stored 10, 15, 20 precious pearls, diamonds, ruby, this and that, gomed, lasna, kadu verme, different names is there. He just opened his cupboard, his showcase. He collected all it. He sold everything because now he want to buy only this pearl. This is not an ordinary pearl. It is a pearl of great price. The pearl was so precious, so valuable. just to get that pearl. He sold everything of it. He sold all his previous pearls. Now again, the same questions. Who is that pearl? Is it pearl or pearls which is mentioned? It is a singular or multiple plural? Singular. Who is that pearl? There is no one precious as Lord Jesus Christ. Again, what is the value of him? What is the preciousness of him? You can even sell everything of it just to get Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us compare with in the life of Paul. How much precious Lord Jesus Christ was for Paul. And we shall read last scriptural portion in Philippians chapter 3 verse 8 says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ. Now Paul is comparing everything of this world with Lord Jesus Christ. And what is his comparison? He says that to the knowledge of Lord Jesus Christ my Lord, I count everything as a dung. You know dung? Dung means oh, municipality jo kachada wagare nikalte, how it smell. He is saying that, see, now look at these things. Now suppose he is a Paul and he is looking all the worldly things, all the people, all the businesses of the people, they are gathering the precious things of this world. But Paul is comparing the precious things of this world as a dung. To whom? He is saying, who is the most precious? Lord Jesus Christ. And he is saying, excellency of knowledge of Jesus Christ. Who is the precious one? Lord Jesus Christ. We have seen three aspects. Lord Jesus Christ, the most holy one, use him. Lord Jesus Christ, the most holy one, worship him. Lord Jesus Christ, the most holy one, value him. You know what is the value of Lord Jesus Christ? Even in the heaven also, when the 24 elders and those people coming in the presence of God, they remove their crown. Now the crown is so precious because to get that crown they have done a lot of things here in the face of the earth. But when they see Lord Jesus Christ, they remove their crown and keep it at the feet of Lord Jesus Christ. That is the value of Lord Jesus Christ. Even the crown, precious crown in the heaven also, that is kept at the feet of Lord Jesus Christ. He is the most holy one. Use him. He is the most holy one. Worship him. He is the most holy one. Value him.